Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also encourage you to listen to our TV program that will follow this radio broadcast on public access channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. It runs from 8 to 8:30. Please give a listen, and hopefully it will be encouragement and edifying to you. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look, and if you have any comments, call us or write us and let us know what you think. We also want to encourage you at the end of this broadcast to listen to our service times, and we cordially invite you to any or all of our services. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we're going to bring to the conclusion a study that we started in January, the first Sunday this year, of answering the question, why? In these months, we have tried to explain to our listening audience to give you a little bit of an understanding of why we practice, teach, and believe certain things, and why we reject other teachings of religions as not being contrary or being contrary to the Word of God. We have tried to do this by showing you the Bible reasons and the Bible passages that teach the things that we practice, things that we believe, and why we reject certain other things as not being in accordance with God's will. In the end of this series, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to answer the question why we believe denominations are wrong. Today we want to explain that we're not anti-religion. We're not out against everyone and think we're the only ones that are right. But there is something wrong with the concept of denominationalism. Let's begin by defining our topic. A denomination is defined as a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative legal hierarchy. One of a series of kinds, values, or sizes, as in a system of currency or weight. A cash register has compartments for bills of differing denominations, 1, 5, 10s, 20, 50s, 100. The stamps come in various denominations. You can get a 49-cent stamp now. You can get an international stamp. You might be able to get a forever stamp. They come in different denominations. A name or designation, especially for a class or a group. Sometimes these are also called divisions or sects. A sect is defined as a group of people forming a distinct unit within a larger group by virtue of a certain refinements or distinctions or belief or practices. A religious body, especially one that has separated from a larger denomination. A faction united by a common interest or belief. The Jews had many different sects. They had Pharisees. They had Sadducees. They had Herodians. They had Zealots. They had Hellenists. All of these were basically different sects within the same body of faith. Same is true today. We have the same thing within the denominational world. There are many different sects even within certain denominations. Now, here is the description of denominations. Are God's people divided into different segments? Each has contradictory doctrines and practices. They are different names and organized differently. Is that what the Lord's church is? Are we divided people? Do we have contradictory practices and teachings? And do we have different names and different organizations? No, the Lord's church does not have that, but denominations do. Are they divided? Yes, they're divided. The religious world is divided at large. They have contradictory doctrines and practices. The Methodists don't teach what the Lutherans do. The Baptists don't teach what the Nazarenes do. And the Roman Catholic doesn't teach what the Church of God believes. They have different names, they have different practices, and they have different doctrines. We want to begin this morning by telling you what reasons are not reasons for why we reject denominationalism. It is not because the members of these churches are not good people. That's not the issue. There are very good people in these denominations, and that's not the issue. It's not because we don't like those who are in these churches. We love people. We love all men. We want all men to be saved, just like Jesus does according to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. But we want people to be right according to God's standard and not the standards of men. Personal preference or what we like or want. It doesn't matter what we like. It doesn't matter what we want. It's not based on our likes and our desires. That is not why we reject denominationalism. We don't do it because we're judging others. That's not the issue. We're looking at what the Bible says and what a body of religious people do, and is it following the biblical pattern? That is what we have tried to show throughout this quarter of this year. So I want to begin this morning by giving you the reasons why we believe denominationalism is wrong and why denominations are theologies of men and not those of divine origin. Number one, there is just one church. Jesus promised to only build one, Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Notice that the word church in this text is singular. It is not plural. He did not promise churches. He promised a church. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible states that there is just one body. And according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, that one body is the church. Let us read the passage together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thus, there is one body, there is one church. Thus, there is not a plurality of churches, there is just one church. And the body has many members, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. And we are of one bread and one body, according to 1 Corinthians 10:17. And we are members of that one body, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. And we have been baptized into that one body through the one Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And we have been reconciled into one body, both Jew and Gentile, according to Ephesians 2:16. And according to Colossians 3:15, we're all called into one body. One body means that there is just one church. Jesus promised only one. There is just one. And the Bible is absolutely silent about other churches. In Acts chapter 15, there is a principle. When the problem of circumcision rolls up within the new infant church, they came together to discuss the matter. And in verse 24, they concluded, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is silent about other churches. Where in the pages of God's Word do we read of a promise to establish other churches? Therefore, on the basis of God's silence on the subject, we must reject other churches as not being from God, but being originated and built by men, which their history would prove to be accurate. The second reason that we reject denominations is because division is simply wrong. It is something that God does not want. In John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, prior to his death on the cross, he prayed in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you and Father are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prayed for biblical unity. He prayed for true unity, all being together. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in addressing the church of Corinth, said they needed to be of the same mind and the same judgment. And he rebuked them for being divided. Let there be no division among you. God hates division. And it's contrary to the doctrine, according to Romans chapter 16, 17 and 18. And He commanded that those who sowed discord among God's people and caused division, that they should be marked. And so division is just wrong. And how can one honestly say that there is no division? They're divided. They have different practices. They have different beliefs. They have different creed books. They have different thinking. They have different theology. Ladies and gentlemen, that is division and that is confusing. They can't be found in the Bible. Their foundation is not found in the Bible. And if you look at their history, they all began too late to be the Lord's church. Therefore, since division is wrong, and religious division is something that's alive and well, we reject denominationalism. The third area that we'll look at this morning is it matters what we believe. It does matter, ladies and gentlemen, what we believe religiously. It's not up to what you think or what I think. It's not what attracts you or what attracts me. We must understand that there is an objective standard that must be met. There is a fixed standard. And that standard is what is written. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we are told that there is something that is written. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we are taught to not go beyond what is written. The oracles of God are contained in what is written, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Paul went and talked the same commandments to God in every church, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The Word of God is an objective standard. It is inspired, all of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. These are the words chosen by the Holy Spirit to reveal the mind of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 through 13 revealed the mind of God. But lastly this morning, we want to look at a passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is why we reject denominationalism, because it does matter what one believes. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, it says, "And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Notice that those believed the lie. Those that believed the lie were deceived. Why? Because they did not love the truth, verse 10. They were deluded in verse 11. They believed the lie in verse 11. They did not believe the truth in verse 12. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. Therefore, what is the end result of that? They perish and they are condemned in verse 10 and 12. But those who love the truth and believe the truth, they're saved according to verse number 10. And therefore, we conclude, ladies and gentlemen, we must do all things according to the pattern, Hebrews 8, verse 5. We must have a thus saith the Lord for all our practices and our teaching, Colossians 3, 17. And if we go beyond the doctrine of Christ, we lose fellowship with the Father and the Son in 2 John 9 through 11, and we need to walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we reject denominationalism for three reasons we looked at this morning, because it's not taught in the Bible, and it's division, and it matters what one believes. Yes, we must follow God's will in all things to be pleasing to Him and to be accepted in the end. Thank you for listening. Tune in again.